Okay, this is First Baptist Church for Sunday, March 1st, 2026.
As I recall, I was the one that saying, maybe you should go. A couple of notes before I start, please. First of all, the difficulty of exegesis, which means bringing an explanation of the word. When you delve into the Bible, it says so much and so many things in so many places. It can be tough to come to a single message. I spend a lot of time in the Word, and it's fruitful, but it's also widespread and deep. So today, the title is New Life in Christ. And before I read the main scripture, a couple of notes. Because what does it mean to have new life in Christ? Well, it's everything from being born again to, as it says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And one more, I want to mention a proverb to think about. I'll come back to it at the end. Proverbs 16:6. Through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided. Now we're going to read Ephesians 4:1-16, if you're able and care to stand for the scripture. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Please be seated. We had a couple of mentions earlier, and it's wonderful how these tie in. When you get, it's almost for me a confirmation or an affirmation of the direction. We had this call for unity. We said, let's pray for the country. So I want to bring out this thought that my hero, Dr. Jordan Peterson, says, if you want to make the world a better place, work on yourself. If you improve, you will by nature improve the world. Likewise, if we want to improve the unity of this country, we can do so by working on improving the unity of the church. Unity is a main characteristic of this scripture. In the beginning here, verses 1 through 6, it's a reminder of the meaning of new life in Christ. Living a life worthy of the calling, being humble and gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So, as we think of unity in the body, we're all individuals, but members of a body, the church. And as I say, we can help each other, we can help the church, and even help our country by working on that individually. In 7 through 10, we have this difficult portion. It's called a parenthetical portion of scripture. What does "he ascended" mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. And some have said that this idea of him descending to the lower regions spoke of his descent into hell, but that's not what it really is. It says the earthly regions. And it talks about the fact that Jesus came down to the earth, was born, lived a human life, and fulfilled the will of the Father through his sacrifice on the cross for our salvation. He who ascended also descended. He had to come to earth, but then he returned to heaven, as it says, sits at the right hand of the Father in glory, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. He who ascended is the very one. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. There's a point that we're going to learn about when he ascended. What did that accomplish for us? When he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. The captives could be those who were the enemies of Christ, those that we still face today. The church is hated. Jesus said, "You're going to be hated, I'm hated, but don't worry about it, I have already overcome the world." So the captives are those that have now had to see the victory of Christ and can no longer reach us because we have the faith that overcomes. And then gave gifts to his people. The gifts were distributed. It says, to each of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. We're not all the same. Each of us have individual gifts God gave us that we might serve him. It's important to recognize that we each have different gifts. And therefore, we need to come together to share our gifts. When it talks about growing and maturing in unity, it's when we come together. And I think a wonderful example of this is our Bible study. We've had a very great Bible study group where various members are contributing, and we are always looking at each other's opinions and viewpoints and perspectives because we don't all understand exactly the same. And as we come together and share what each of us sees, we all get a better picture of the whole thing. It's a sharing. It's coming together. We can't do it individually. We can spend time in the Word. We can read the Bible. We can gain understanding on our own. But when we really share what we see with others and listen to what they see, we gain a better perspective. We learn. We become more mature in the body. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service. So we do this for each other. Yes, these titles, pastors, teachers, apostles, have roles, but not one is more important. Leadership means helping people. Servant leadership is coming with a humble heart and offering what I have, what you have, to each other. It's not a looking down upon each other. So we work to equip ourselves for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up again until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So the list given of these people is a description of the church. Other places it describes gifts in a more lengthy list, but each is given specific gifts that we can bring in the service of God. So what does it mean to have new life in Christ? It's to recognize your gifts, to bring them forward, to develop them, to work with each other, to share our gifts, that we might all become more mature and better into the image of Christ, who is the head of the church. So 14 through 16, summation of this portion, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. There's the perfect description. That's what I'm trying to tell you, written plainly for us to hear and read. So a friend of mine told me that the one thing he doesn't maybe hear enough of in sermons is love. And I want to bring to attention that in this passage, it starts and summation, it has the importance of love. Be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. This is what's going to help provide that unity, the humbleness, the gentleness, bearing with one another in love. And then, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So it's a call to service, isn't it? It's an explanation that we're created unique with an ability to help each other and that we can gain the same benefit from the others. It may not work as well in the world because they don't have the bond of Christ that we have. We are one member of a body. We are each members of one body, one faith, one baptism, one Christ, the head of all. So in this summation, the idea of supporting each other and maturing in Christ as each part does its work. You know, Christ, God, prepared good works in advance for us to walk in. And that's following His will. And that's our purpose. We need purpose. Purpose is a necessity for every one of us. It's going to be either in the world or preferably in the body of Christ. You might have, you know, a great job, that's okay. You might have a wonderful service that you perform in the world, that's okay. But it's what we do for Christ that counts. So love is named at the beginning and in the conclusion, being completely humble and patient, bearing with one another in love. So we're in a battle. It's a battle that the Lord warned us about when I said that He told us the world hated Him, it's going to hate us. But take heart, He has overcome the world. In 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription. The Lord knows who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. This is the battle we're in, against the world, against the temptations. Addiction is a falling into sin. And, you know, each of us has something we struggle against. We can be honest about that, but it's in the struggle that we have purpose to grow and mature and to serve God. He calls us to repentance, and it's an ongoing exercise. It's not complete until we reach, as Paul says, the end of the race. We kept moving forward. We keep trying to grow. There will be stumbles. There will be falls. But thanks be to God, we can always look to him, return to him, and that path will grow when we grow. So, Luke 9:23-24. Then he said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it." Taking up your cross daily, denying yourself. This is what we're called to do. This is how we overcome. This is how we escape the traps of sin. The music today perfectly stated that. We turn to God. We look to him. We follow him. And we deny ourselves. Not that we lose anything, but that we gain our better image. We gain that which he has given to us, the gifts he has given us. And then in service, we can find joy. It does say that we will receive a reward. So this Proverbs 16:6, through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided. There's a thing called the law of non-contradiction. Basically what it means is you cannot both do something and not do it. And that's a struggle that we have to struggle with. We do the thing, as Paul says in Romans, we do the things we don't want to do, and the thing I want to do, I don't do. I still have sin, but how am I going to be saved from this? Thank God through Christ our Lord. A constant returning to him. No matter what happens, we can always return to him. That it's repentance to turn away from the things that we might rub up against, the things that we might stumble because of, that might even cause us to fall. But we can turn back to Jesus, and with a patience and an attention to him, overcome the things that would afflict us. So, the path will also, you know, cause us to mature and grow. When we go through these difficulties, it's a training session. And as we share our experiences with each other, we can learn more about what it means to follow Christ, deny ourselves, and gain that reward. So it says, through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. And what that's telling us is, we can't change what's already happened. We can't undo what's already done. We can, we can ask forgiveness, we can definitely give forgiveness, but we can't undo what's already been done. Through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. So, what do you do now? How do you act going forward? If you're denying yourself, picking up your cross daily, following Jesus, coming together to share the gifts that you've been given, being the light that shines into the darkness because you have Christ and you can share him with others, this is the way we atone for past sins. By living the life God has put before us, by fulfilling his will for our lives and using the gifts that he's given us, through the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided. Since we know that we have the forgiveness of sins, and since we know that it's only through Christ that we can receive it, that we have the fear of the Lord is knowing that it's only through Jesus. Amen. It's only by him that we have the forgiveness of sins. It's only by his power that we can serve him, but with joy. that we can serve him in newness of life and accomplish the tasks he's given us to do. We get the joy. And by sharing the love, we get love. By sharing our gifts, we receive bounty. All these things work together to help us grow and mature, attaining to the full measure of Christ our Lord. Through the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided. We all have a struggle. We all have a battle. And I say, are you in the battle? Are you trying? God wants us to be closer to him. And the way we do that is by getting rid of the garbage.
Amen.
Getting away from the things we don't need. One more time, the pruning. You're the vine, he's the vine, we're the branches. Every branch in me that bears no fruit will be cut off, thrown into the fire and burned. But every branch that does bear fruit will be pruned so that it can be even more fruitful. This is us growing in Christ. As long as we remain in the vine, as long as we have him remaining in us and we remain in him, we will be able to accomplish more. And here's the mystery revealed. When Jesus said, you will do things even greater than this, how could that be possible? Can we do things greater than Jesus did?
Amen.
Well, when Jesus was on the earth, praise God that he came, did what he did. He was an individual. Yes, he had the disciples, the apostles. So those around him could take the training, the learning, his commissions to go out, and they could spread. But we said, when I go, I have to return to the Father. And then I will send you the Holy Spirit. That he can be his presence within us. The Holy Spirit, the presence of Christ within us. So that now every one of us has the opportunity to be the presence of Christ in the world.
Amen.
It's not just the one man. It's not just those immediately around him. Every one of us has Jesus that we can share, and this is how the church can do even greater things than occurred while he was on earth.
Praise God.
Praise God. As Brad says, it's what I have for you today. Let us pray. Father God, I come before you in humility, recognizing I'm just a man. But a man called, a man given gifts, a man with the opportunity to serve. I'm not alone. We all have this opportunity, Lord. We are all called to something. And so, Lord, we pray that we could look to you for the direction, correction, and protection we require, that we might know in advance the gifts and also know in advance the good works you have prepared for us to walk in. Not ahead of the time, but when it's due time, that we might know that it is of you, that we could walk in the path of your will, growing closer to you, and indeed, growing and maturing in the body, till we all reach the fullness of Christ. Amen.
Praise God.